from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly science and environment series. If you want to get a sense of how the overall economy is doing, look outside your window the night before garbage and recycling day. Last fall, you'd have seen trucks full of cardboard circling the neighborhood. By winter, the cardboard poachers had disappeared. That's because waste paper, like other recyclables, feeds into a multi-billion dollar global commodities market that rises and falls, just like housing prices and stocks. Amy Standen has more.
Last winter, Carolyn Almquist had a problem. It's Carolyn's job to move shipping containers full of American exports to factories over in Asia. The problem is the factories in Asia didn't want them.
There was no buyer. It would arrive at our terminal, say in Jakarta, and nobody would come pick it up.
Carolyn is standing at the headquarters of the company where she works, APL Shipping, at the Port of Oakland. Behind her, diesel trucks dart back and forth among brightly colored shipping containers, like bees tending to a hive. The containers that come in carry Asian-made electronics and clothes. The ones that leave, more often than not, contain waste paper and cardboard picked up from American homes and offices. But last winter, no one wanted those paper-filled containers. Asian paper mills were canceling deals with the ships halfway across the Pacific. And Carolyn, who's in charge of APL's exports, was the first to hear about it.
I'm getting an email saying, "What are you people doing? Don't send us stuff without a buyer."
Which is a big problem, considering how important waste paper is for APL.
On average, it's about 25% of the export trade, so it's a huge product for us.
Waste paper is also a huge product for Steve Moore.
Hey, Alex, good morning. Steve Moore calling.
Steve runs a company called Pacific Rim Recycling in Benicia.
Got any updates for me on the marketplace?
Every day, he calls around to see how much people are paying for things like newspaper, water bottles, and old envelopes.
What about corrugated?
Shipping all this stuff to Asia is cheap. In fact, it costs Steve the same amount of money, around $350, to send a container on a two-week trip to China as it does to simply truck it across the county. That's because those containers came over here carrying, remember, expensive things like sneakers and iPhones. Now they're heading back for another load, so we might as well fill them.
It's like an empty seat on a plane. If it's empty going anywhere, the money's lost.
Not everything gets shipped to Asia, but a lot of it, especially cardboard, plastics, and some aluminum cans, does. Those materials end up at Asian manufacturers who turn them into iPhone boxes, polyester shirts, and computer parts, which are then sold right back to us. But that tidy little loop grinds to a halt the minute we stop shopping, which is exactly what we did when the market collapsed last winter.
When people stop buying, when we stop buying the VCRs and the TVs from China, there's no need for the boxes to go around them.
That's Mark Murray with the Sacramento nonprofit Californians Against Waste. He says that in the space of 1 month, October 2008, the price for mixed paper on the global market plunged from $100 a ton to less than $30. In 2 months, plastic water bottles dropped from $500 a ton to less than $100.
What recycling experienced in the last 6 months is really the same thing the entire global economy has been experiencing.
Usually, cities contract with private companies who take and sort recyclables and then profit from bringing them to market. So when that revenue dried up, those companies were in trouble. At least one company in Sacramento was forced to dump unsellable paper. That's paper people had put into their recycling bins, into a landfill. Many companies asked cities to raise customers' monthly garbage fees to help cover costs. Over in Benicia, Steve Moore hunkered down to wait it out.
We couldn't sell anything for about 6 weeks, and all this material was just backing up. I mean, I had rented yard space next door, and then I had to sell it as low as $10 a ton just to get rid of it.
By February, prices started to recover as demand for consumer goods began picking up a bit. But while those prices have stabilized, they are still nowhere near the highs of a year ago.
And a ton of paper today is worth roughly $100 a ton. Last year at this time, it was worth $200 a ton. You know, it's a very volatile market, so the economics of that are pretty severe.
One reason the market's so volatile is that with recyclables, the supply never stops. In other words, no matter how much or how little those Asian factories want our cardboard and our plastic water bottles, we're going to keep putting them out on the sidewalk. Oil manufacturers can turn down the spigot when demand drops to control supply so it keeps pace with demand. But bales of paper and plastic simply take up too much space. And here at Pacific Rim Recycling, the trucks keep rolling in.
The volume of this material is huge.
But at least it's moving, which means Steve Moore can relax again. And over at the Port of Oakland, Carolyn is no longer getting angry emails.
Things are picking up again, and if we had a ship here today, she would be sailing Oakland full, which is great. Export market is picking back up. Life is a little bit easier.
And Carolyn Almquist knows, as well as anyone in this industry, to enjoy it while it lasts. For Quest, I'm Amy Standen, KQED Radio News.
See what happens after your paper and bottles get picked up from the curb on our website at kqed.org/quest.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and the William K. Bowes Jr. Foundation.